Now that the New York Giants draft class is in the books, what does that mean for the roster moving forward? I'm going to give you some bold predictions coming up next on the Locked On Giants podcast.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. My name is Patricia Chayna, and today's episode of the Locked On Giants podcast is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, official sportsbook of the NFL. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/lockedon today to get started. All right, on today's Locked On Giants podcast, got a busy, jam-packed episode for you. We're going to talk about some bold predictions. Basically, the NFL draft is in the books. We know who the Giants selected. We kind of have an idea as to what they're going to do moving forward. Of course, you know, it's all contingent on whether these guys can stay healthy or not. So I'm going to give you some bold predictions, things that I think might pan out with regards to the roster. Now, again, this is just based on the personnel that they brought in and what I think they want to do. As I get to the mini camps, as I get to the OTAs, I'll get a better idea of maybe what's going on and how things are shaping up. But just some early thoughts on where things are headed. So glad to have you with us on this Tuesday episode of the Locked On Giants podcast. Let's get right to it. And I'm going to start off with point number one, which is the competition that has now been created at two very key positions where the Giants needed some speed. They would be, of course, wide receiver and cornerback. Let's start with wide receiver first. With wide receiver, last year, we all saw what the Giants were able to do with basically a talent group that lacked a household name, you know, guys that, you know, on most teams would probably be like, you know, third, fourth, fifth receivers, you know, basically not a number one receiver amongst them. And thanks to the schemes by Brian Daboll and Mike Kafka, they were able to optimize the talent that they had, even when guys were getting injured. So guys like Darius Slayton had big seasons. Isaiah Hodgins walked right in and looked like he had been there all this time. You know, Richie James, who's no longer with the team, but he was with the team last year. He had a big season. So moving forward now, the Giants, of course, drafted Jalin Hyatt. They added Paris Campbell. They have Slayton coming back. All right. Darren Waller is going to be one of the receivers, even though he's a tight end. But, you know, we've got to put him in with the receiver group. Giants got a lot of speed. So what does that mean now? Well, let's look at some of the other guys they have on the roster. You know, Hodgins is back, obviously. They re-signed Sterling Shepard, who is working his way back from another serious injury. I don't know exactly, you know, if he's going to be ready. Wandale Robinson is working his way back from an ACL. Jamison Crowder was added. You've got Colin Johnson coming back from, I believe, an Achilles injury suffered last year. So you've got a lot of talent now at wide receiver. So how does this all potentially shake out? Well, here's the thing. I think the Giants are potentially going to keep three tight ends, right? So Darren Waller and Daniel Bellinger are locks. The third tight end, there's going to be a competition. They've got Chris Myrick on the roster. They'd signed Tommy Sweeney. Whoever that third tight end is, he's going to probably be more of the blocker. So if they keep three tight ends, I question if they're going to keep more than six receivers. So let's kind of, you know, do the preliminary guessing in our head here. So you figure it's going to be Hyatt. It's going to be Hodgins. It's probably going to be Campbell. It's going to be one of Shepard or Crowder. It's going to be probably, who am I missing? Jeff Smith may be a special teamer. and I'm missing somebody. Who am I missing? Wandale Robinson, who may not be ready for the start of the season. So that's seven. I don't think that they keep seven receivers. All right. I think it's only going to be at the most six. And as I mentioned, I didn't even count Colin Johnson in that group. So I am pretty much convinced that if everybody stays healthy, if everybody who's injured is on target to return, on schedule to return, we could see the Giants maybe look to move somebody via trade. Because as I said in yesterday's show, the Giants have an abundance of receivers, and I could see them, especially since they didn't trade for new assets for next year, and they are probably not going to get any comp picks for next year because they signed too many guys. I can see the Giants potentially looking to swing a trade of one of their receivers. Now, which guy will that be? Too soon to tell. But I would say, you know, if Colin Johnson comes back and looks anything like he started to look before he suffered his injury, he's a possibility that maybe they look to move. Could they maybe look to move Darius Slayton, even though they signed him to a two-year deal? I wouldn't rule that out, you know, especially if, you know, Hyatt comes in here and Hodgins has a good good preseason. That's a possibility. I don't think it'll be Slayton, but you can't rule that out. Campbell is signed to a one-year deal, a kind of a prove-it deal, you know, because last year he had the good season, but he, you know, got to stay healthy. So assuming he could stay healthy and have a follow-up to that season, that good season he had last year, I don't think they move him, but, you know, he could be somebody for the long term. So the Giants right now, a lot of speed at receiver, just a matter of how it all shakes out. And I could potentially see one of those receivers getting traded. All right. And we'll just have to tune in for training camp to kind of see how it shakes out. But that's what I am predicting as of today, as I record this May 1st, 2023. Now let's talk about cornerback, because this is kind of interesting. The Giants, of course, drafted Deonte Banks with the number one overall pick. He's going to line up opposite of Adoree Jackson. Now, Adoree Jackson, a lot of people have asked me, will the Giants maybe look to extend him to lower his cap number? My guess is no. I've been saying that, you know, for a while now. I don't think that's the direction they're going to go in to lower, to get cap space. And I'm going to talk about cap space coming up a little later on in the show. So I suspect the two outside cornerbacks starters are going to be Jackson and Banks, which means, okay, where does Aaron Robinson fit in? I could see Aaron Robinson competing with Darnay Holmes for the slot cornerback position. And, you know, that's a move I just never understood. You know, last year the Giants moved Aaron Robinson from the slot to the outside. I think it was because of the height and the length that he had, and they figured maybe he could, you know, fit that role pretty well, you know, after they cut James Bradbury. Never made sense to me. It's like, if you're going to draft a guy who played one position in college, why would you want to move him? Especially, you know, Aaron Robinson, I believe, was a third round pick. So I think that was just more or less of a stopgap for the Giants. So that being said, I could see a potential situation where it comes down to Aaron Robinson and Darnay Holmes for the quote unquote starting slot cornerback position. I do think there'll be, you know, others who will play the slot cornerback spot, but those are the two guys that I think are going to really, you know, slug it out in the summertime for that job. And Holmes, who was in the last year of his contract, if he doesn't make it, or if the Giants decide to, you know, trade him, if they can work out a trade, they can recoup almost $3 million in salary cap space. So to me, it just makes too much sense, because you're going to have, you know, Aaron Robinson still on a rookie contract, probably a little bit higher in terms of, you know, his salary, but not as high as Darnay Holmes. So again, we'll talk more about salary cap space coming up, but that's a competition that I would say to keep an eye on. Now, also remember, the Giants added, they actually double dipped in cornerback. They added Trey Hawkins from Old Dominion and Jarvarius Owens from Houston. Although I think Owens is more of a kind of like I call him a DB because I believe he could play, you know, safety and cornerback. So he's not specifically a cornerback, kind of like almost like what Julian Love was when he first came to the Giants, just kind of plugged in wherever he could be. But Owens could also be or is also most likely a project, excuse me, given where he was taken in the draft. So Owens to me is more of a probably a project at this point, you know, in need of some development, given where he was taken in the draft. But, you know, potentially could be like that Julian Love role. You know, Julian Love, when he first came, didn't play much, but then he gradually saw his responsibilities grow. And pretty soon he was playing all over the place, except for really outside cornerback, not really the position he played much. So that's what I'm wondering might be in store for Owens moving down the line. Let's quick talk about some of the other cornerbacks on the Giants roster. Rodarius Williams, the only cornerback last year who I believe came up with an interception, kind of a forgotten man, and probably a guy who I think has an uphill battle to make the roster. I mean, Williams just kind of dropped off the radar towards the end of last year, despite, you know, having a good game against, I think it was against the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. So I question how much longer he's going to be on the roster. So we'll have to see, obviously, you know, what pans out there. The Giants also have a couple of young guys on the roster that they brought back. Zion Gilbert, who was primarily on the practice squad last year. They have Nick McLeod, who got some starting snaps and a guy they like. They are trying to jumpstart the career of Amani Orouari, the free agent that they signed from Detroit, who was once a starter. And they also have a guy, Terrell Burgess, and of course, Cordell Flott. So the Giants have a lot of guys at cornerback. And, you know, it's just a matter of how the five shake out. And it's early, I get it. But if I had to take a guess as to how they would go, I think obviously Banks and Jackson are givens. I do think McLeod is going to be a given. I think Orouari will probably be a given. And Aaron Robinson, I suspect, would be the fifth one. Now, again, this is all contingent on how they do in the summertime. I'm just spitballing here and just trying to kind of play through the various scenarios, early scenarios in my mind. As we have learned so many times, and I have learned this from 30 plus years of covering this team, predictions now really don't mean a whole lot, but you do projections anyway, because, you know, it's always fun to kind of anticipate how the draft class is going to potentially affect the team moving forward. So really, you know, for me, the two biggest positions, like I said, with competition are a cornerback and receiver. And I think if the Giants are going to try to swing a trade with another team to get some draft assets for next year, it's going to be receiver. So that's the one I would say keep an eye on. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk about Saquon Barkley and the running back situation. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Hey, Giant fans, grand slams, no hitters, and double plays are back. The NHL playoffs are in full swing and the NBA playoffs are in full swing. And right now, there is no better place to get in on all the action than at FanDuel, America's number one sports book. That's because right now, FanDuel is giving new customers a no sweat first bet up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if their first bet does not win. Just go to FanDuel.com/lockedon and sign up today to claim your no sweat first bet. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official partner of Major League Baseball. All right, Giant fans, welcome back to the Locked On Giants podcast. I'm your host, Patricia Traina. Happy to have you with us. And depending on what time you're watching this, I'm probably knee deep in interviews on this Tuesday. And that's because coming up on the Locked On Giants podcast, I have gone ahead and scheduled various interviews with the Locked On College hosts of the various schools who from where the draft picks came from. So my goal is to have each of the hosts come on and talk about the draft picks in more specifics. I know I did that last year. A lot of you liked that. A lot of you asked me if I plan to do it again. Well, folks, I am planning to do it again. Also coming up on the Locked On Giants podcast, I don't know if it's going to be this week, but maybe next week for sure, I'm planning a live podcast with Tana and the dog. So again, a lot of you asked for that. And look, you asked me for stuff. I do the best I can to accommodate because it's the least I can do. I love you guys and I appreciate you listening. And by the way, a shout out to all my everydayers. Appreciate you. I saw some of you guys check in on the comments section on YouTube. So I'm going through the comments when I can and giving you a shout out. And I appreciate you. And those of you who listen to me every day on audio, thank you so much. Let me know on audio so that I can give you guys shout outs as well. You don't have comments over on the audio platforms, but I can at least give you a shout out there. So anyway, that's what's coming up on the Locked On Giants podcast. Again, glad to have you with me. Let's get back to some quote unquote bold predictions based on the impact that the Giants 2023 draft class has. All right. Want to talk about Saquon Barkley. Now, Joe Shane mentioned at the final press conference at the end of the draft that he was going to reopen conversations with Saquon Barkley's representatives. And whether or not they put a new deal on the table, a revised deal, or however they're going to do it, basically it's going to depend on the conversations they have. So basically what I'm guessing is Shane's going to probably call up Kim Mialy and say, hey, listen, you've seen the draft, you've seen the market, you still think your client is worth what you think he's worth, which I suspect is way more than what the Giants want to pay. And if she says, yes, we're not budging, then guess what? Conversations are probably not going to go any further. If she says, you know, we gave it some thought and we'll try and work with you and try and meet somewhere in the middle, then I think the conversations will proceed. So that being said, I still believe, even though I think it's in the best interest of Saquon Barkley to take a multi-year deal, even if it's less money APY than what he's looking for, as long as the guaranteed money is there, getting guaranteed money each year of the deal or for most of the deal is a lot better than just, you know, running the risk of playing on the franchise tag for $10.1 million, which is the only guaranteed money you're going to get. I think Barkley could potentially get a lot more guaranteed money if he agrees to a revised deal. So I don't know if that will happen. I still think Barkley is going to gamble on himself, that he has another big year, maybe even a better year than he had last year. Lord knows he'll certainly be motivated to do that if he plays on the tag. And I do believe that that's where this is headed. I mean, I'd like to say that, you know, the two sides will come to a deal. I know I've spoken to some people that, and they're optimistic that eventually common sense will prevail. I wish I could feel that optimistic. Right now, I don't feel that optimistic that Barkley will reach a long-term deal by July 17th. Still plenty of time. Don't get me wrong. Anything can happen, but I'm not optimistic right now that that gets done. Hopefully I'm wrong. And if I am, you know me, guys, I'll own it. But right now, based on you know, the tea leaves, I have a feeling that it's just not going to happen. So what about Eric Gray, the running back that they took in the fifth round, and how does he factor into the equation? Well, folks, let's get something straight here about Eric Gray. He's obviously not a Saquon Barkley. Barkley is a bell cow. He is a guy around whom you can build your running game. Eric Gray is a solid running back, reminds me a lot of Ahmad Bradshaw, but without that sudden burst. I don't think he quite has that sudden burst or quickness that Bradshaw had. But Eric Gray is a guy who can obviously pound the ball with a rock in his hands, who can catch out of the backfield, and who can pass protect. Showed all that in college. I do not think necessarily that, like Barkley, Eric Gray is a potential bell cow. I think in a rotation, he would be maybe the lead guy, but I don't think he is, you know, the exclusive guy like a Barkley is. So I want to make that clear. So that being said, you kind of wonder if the Giants are maybe thinking of eventually gravitating towards a running back by committee approach, you know, especially if Saquon and his representative dig in and say, look, we're not signing for anything less than what we feel our market value is. We'll play on the tag this year. We'll take our chances next year. Good luck trying to tag us and trying to, you know, get deals done with Andrew Thomas and Xavier McKinney and whoever else you got coming up. That's what I think is going to happen with Saquon Barkley. So Eric Gray, you know, I don't necessarily think he was taken as insurance for the future, but I'm not surprised that the Giants took a running back for the future, because as I said prior to the draft, Barkley is not guaranteed to be, you know, long-term here. I hope he is, but not guaranteed. Matt Breida is only signed for 1 year. Gary Brightwell, he's signed and you know, he could still contribute, but kind of a spot back. Jashawn Corbin, let's see how he's developed. You know, once training camp ended last year, we weren't allowed to see the entire practices. So I can't tell you how Jashawn Corbin developed since we weren't able to see, you know, the practices, the team part of practices, but certainly something we'll be keeping an eye on in training camp this year. So curious to see how it works out. Now, a lot of people ask me, would the Giants trade Saquon? I don't think they would. Now, you know, would they maybe consider it if the team tanks, you know, if they have a bad season? Possibly, but I would say right now, the odds of the Giants trading Saquon are very, very low. If you're Saquon, again, you come in after, you know, assuming that no deal is reached before July 17th, maybe you hold out of camp for a couple weeks, because remember, as long as Saquon doesn't sign that tag, he can't be fined and he can hold out as long as he wants. But I do believe come opening day, come kickoff, he will be there. He will be with this team. He will be in shape. Maybe won't be necessarily in football shape, because they'll probably have to, you know, break them in, if you will, because football shape is one thing and being in shape is another. But Saquon will be on the field for this team. I would be stunned if he isn't. But I think the Giants are looking ahead just in case. And I do think down the line, you're going to see a situation where they move to a committee approach at running back. Which I guess makes sense if you think about it. A lot of teams do it. You know, the days of having the bell cow are starting to become rare. So I wouldn't necessarily be upset if that's the direction they go in. But again, I like Saquon. I think he's a great player. I'd like to see him and the Giants work out a long-term deal. I don't know if they will, but anything could happen, and it's still kind of early. So still some time before we sit back and we say, time's running out. So that's how I see that one rolling. Okay, coming up next, let's talk salary cap. And I talked a little bit about that in the first segment, but I'm going to get into that a little bit more in this next segment. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. All right, Giant fans, welcome back to the Locked On Giants podcast. I'm your host, Patricia Traina. We are talking about the impact of the Giants 2023 draft class. And we've talked already about the running back situation with Saquon Barkley earlier. We talked about the competition at wide receiver and cornerback. And by the way, there's going to be a lot more competition specifically on the roster. Like, for example, I'm looking forward to watching Dexter Lawrence go against John Michael Schmitz during training camp, once the pads go on. But I'm talking about competition within a position group is what I covered in the first segment. In this segment, I want to talk about the salary cap, because obviously with the addition of the draft picks. We've got some salary cap issues we need to talk about. Now, again, leading up to the draft, if you watched me and read me, I kept saying the Giants weren't going to keep all 10 draft picks. And the reason for that was because of salary cap concerns, amongst other things. I mean, obviously, the Giants used those extra picks to trade up the board to get guys they wanted. But salary cap certainly did drive us. All right. So where do the Giants stand right now with salary cap? According to Over the Cap, and they have a total cap space of, they're actually in the red for total cap space, $149,649 in the red. Their effective cap space, which is what they need for signing 51 players, and their projected rookie class, they are again in the red, $2.824 million. In the red, that is dead last in the NFL. So where are they going to get money? The obvious answer is contract extensions. I do believe that in the coming weeks, Dexter Lawrence is going to get done. I know that Joe Shane said at the end of the draft, they were going to revisit with his reps and see if they couldn't get something done. That alone should open up a big chunk of money, which should allow the Giants to get through the summer at the very least. Now, as far as beyond that, here's the thing. I mentioned that there's going to probably be some veterans right now that are part of the top 51 that don't make the roster, that their money is going to get credited back to the cap. So for example, J.C. Hasenauer, he has a $1.035 million cap number, okay, sign a veteran minimum deal. If he is a post-June 1st cut, meaning he doesn't make the roster for whatever the reason, the Giants get back an $835,000 savings, but only a $200,000 dead money hit. So Hasenauer, I'm just using him as an example. I don't think he's going to get cut. I think he's going to be the backup center. But there was a lot of guys on this team whom the Giants signed to one-year minimum deals. And that, you know, that money is going to ultimately add up if they don't make the roster. So that's one way to get money, or another way to get money. Is it going to be enough to get them through the regular season? Probably not. So the way I see it, and in knowing that Joe Shane probably doesn't want to kick money down the can, you know, kick the can down the road, so to speak, the way I see this playing out is priority number one, get something done with Dexter Lawrence, because you could potentially lower maybe by as much as 50% his cap number, which, by the way, is $12.407 million. That is the option year of his rookie deal. So get that number down. They could probably cut that in half once they restructure, you know, give them a low base salary, the prorated signing bonus, you know, a roster bonus, however they want to do it. But they can get that number cut in half and open up potentially $6 million, which should be enough, like I said, to get them pretty far. Now, if they have to add to that, obviously, you would like to see them get something done with Saquon Barkley. But again, I am not confident that happens. So that being said, where else can they get money? Well, you've got to look at the guys with the highest base salaries. Leonard Williams would be an obvious choice. You know, Williams has an $18 million base salary. But here's the problem with Leonard Williams. You can't just go in and restructure him. You have to extend him. And if he's not willing to be extended, not much you can do. All right. So he might just turn around and say, look, I'm going to play out my contract for what it is. And that's it. So the other thing, as I've mentioned with Leonard Williams, where is he with that injury that he had last year that he hoped would heal itself up with rest? There is optimism he'll be okay. But if you're the Giants, you probably want to know that he's okay before you do anything further with his contract. All right, where else can the Giants get money if they need to? Adoree Jackson has an $11 million base salary, but as I said, I don't think they're going to want to touch that contract. Let's see, who else do they have? Let's see, they've got Mark Lewinsky, who has a $4.65 million base salary. But that money, let's see, he's got $5.65 million guaranteed. And that's because he got a $1 million roster bonus. So the roster bonus was paid out. I don't think they would get a whole lot in savings if they went with Lewinsky and you know, tinkered with that particular contract. One contract I do think they're going to tinker with, because it just makes too much sense not to do this, is backup quarterback Tyrod Taylor. Taylor currently has a $6.9 million cap hit, of which $5.45 million is his base salary. If you're the Giants and you need money, that's the contract you look to maybe extend if you need to, or just do something with. Because here's the thing, the Giants currently don't have a solidified third quarterback on their roster. They have DeVito coming in from Illinois as part of the rookie minicamp, but he's probably going to need some development. So if you're the Giants and you like Tyrod Taylor, and I've heard that they do like Tyrod Taylor, maybe you go to him and you say, Tyrod, we want to extend you. And in the process, you lower his base salary down and you extend him a couple of years, just so you have that insurance moving forward. Because here's the other thing, folks. Remember, Daniel Jones, although he got a four-year contract, if for whatever reason things don't work out, the Giants can get out of that contract after 2 years. And that means, you know, this year and next year. Well, if you don't have a veteran on your roster next year, what are you going to do if, God forbid, that happens, that scenario happens and you have to get out of the contract? So to me, Tyrod Taylor is the contract to watch for a possible restructure. Makes too much sense in the long term. Now, of course, you know, does he want to extend his contract? I could sit here and tell you what I think the Giants will do, but obviously the players have got to want to, you know, agree to it. And I don't know who's open to it and who's not. Anyone else that they could potentially do? I looked at Graham Gano. He's got a $3.75 million base salary. I don't think they'll get a whole lot there. Really, that's about all I see in terms of realistic salary cap reductions that they can do. So again, if you're Joe Shane, the top priority right now, Dexter Lawrence, because you could probably get about $6 million in cap space. That should be enough to where you don't have to worry about anything else. But at the same time, like I said, if you want to make sure you have Tyrod Taylor on board beyond this year, because next year he's got a voidable year, maybe you look to do something there. And then you should have enough to get you through, even with Leonard Williams' $18 million base salary or Dory Jackson's $11 million base salary. So that's how I see it playing out. And also Saquon Barkley, I can't forget Saquon Barkley's $10.1 million franchise tag, if that's what he ends up playing on. So that's how I see it playing out, folks. Now, again, plenty of time before all this comes into, you know, takes shape. So we will see how it works out. But that is the immediate impact we have from the Giants draft class. And of course, this Friday and Saturday is the rookie minicamp. I will be at the rookie minicamp. I will have extra shows for you probably over the weekend with reports. So you will want to keep it here on the Locked On Giants podcast. And again, I will also be having the Locked On College hosts on to talk about these draft picks. So please do make plans to spend about a half hour to an hour with me on the Locked On Giants podcast, because I'm doing my best to bring you guys what you want to know. So on that note, that's going to do it for me, Giant fans. Again, a shout out to all my everydayers. Thank you for making the Locked On Giants podcast your first listen or watch every day. We will see you tomorrow with the first of our interviews on the rookie class. Have a good one, Giant fans.